Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
I stood here on Thursday and we're praying, and it came out of my spirit that I should speak on this topic, the calling of God. And in my study and in listening to others who have preached, I found out that there are many ways, there are many dimensions to the word calling of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The word calling in the scriptures is quite interesting.
Hallelujah.
I want us to open to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans 11, 29. Are you there? Paul had to say this, and was speaking about Israel. He said of Israel that the gifts and the callings of God, they are without repentance. Israel had a call. Israel had, the word call means to summon, to invite to a feast, or to go proclaim, or do a work.
Hallelujah.
It's a summon. When God summons a man, he has a call. Praise God. Unfortunately, we have, over time, for the, maybe it is ignorance, or confusion, or lack of sight, that when you hear the word call, all that all of you speak about, think about, is a pulpit ministry. I want to show you this morning that every one of us, we all have a calling. Amen. All the men of old had callings. Abraham was called of God to accomplish a purpose. What was the purpose? It was to birth a child. Every other thing that happened in his life were just supposed to bring those things about. Are you with me? Yes, he had a call. Leave the land of your father and go to the land I will show you. He said that was the call, but that was not really the purpose. Amen. In the process, he made money, but that was not the purpose of his life. Am I talking to Ross? His purpose, the reason why he was raised in the earth, primary, was to bring forth the promised child. That was his purpose. And that required him to live by faith. And in doing so, it was to set forth a template in the earth that any promise of God must be received by a work of faith. It became therefore a template and an icon for all men to follow in the things and economy of God. Amen. That was his calling. Moses had a call to ministry. Say, go deliver my people. That was, his own call was twofold. Deliver my people and lead them into the land of promise. That was where he was supposed to stop. Amen. Are you with me? He did not fulfill the second part. They got to the border, but he did not fulfill the second part. Hallelujah. He came very close to it and just couldn't do it. He couldn't run into an end. Now, for Joshua, his call was very simple. Possess the land. And Joshua went in and possessed the land. But he also did not finish, because we also hear in the word of God that God said of Joshua that you have stricken in age. You have very advanced in age, and there are so much land to occupy. Age was a problem. Time was a problem. What do I learn from all this? Listen to me. Amen. There is a general call for all men. Every time the gospel goes out to you, be born again. It's a call. It's a summon. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What did he say? And I will give you rest. That is a summon. All men have been given a summon. Come. That's why the Bible says, in the days past, when men walked in their ignorance and walked in their stupidity, God overlooked. He overlooked, but now has given a command that all men must or should be saved. Once those things went out of the mouth of God, It's the summer. How did he explain it? He said the kingdom is like unto a king who gave a feast and summoned people to that feast. He gave a feast of his son. But the people who were summoned were not worthy because they rejected the summons. Why? Like them as we heard of this morning, they had better plans. May you not have a better plan than the plan of God in Jesus' name. That is always the problem we have. We believe we have plans that are better than the plans that God has. Oh, sure, we have. Oh, we tell God, you don't know anything. In fact, you are Asian. We are modern. We know how this life goes. We know how it's going to end. Just hold on, and we'll meet you in heaven. Hallelujah. Do you know that the general summons of God to come to Jesus does not end there? Do you know that Jesus now went on to say that now come and learn of me? There were two kinds of rest. Come unto me, who only that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That was what he said. I will give you rest. He now said, learn of me. For I am meek, I am lonely, and you will find rest. That is another level of summons. It is that second that many do not pursue. Many have come to Jesus. Many have had him remove their burden, remove their problems, deal with the issues of their lives. But they have not responded to the second. Because behind the second is an erroneous thought pattern that only those who are called into ministry should respond. And that's an error. I have preached a message here. False finish lines. Listen to me. In the wisdom of God, he said this, that the reason why he has specific men and women is to raise you to a level where you have that full stature, that full image formed in you. Hallelujah. When that has happened, there will be no more need for those apostles. Until we come. That work will continue until we all come. Are you with me? In the wisdom of God, a time will come. Those things will not be needed again. Praise God. Do you know that? Are you aware that when Israel was coming out of Egypt and after the Mount Sinai experience, they carried the Ark of the Covenant? Do you remember? Do you remember that throughout the story of Joshua, they didn't mention the Ark of the Covenant? It was there, but they didn't mention it. Because everything that came to Joshua came via instructions. The Spirit took control and began to instruct him the path he should go. It is not the will of God that Ark should be there. Are you with me? You see, they had not grown to the place where they could trust God with their imagination. That you don't need physical objects to relate with God. You don't need water to know that there is anointing. You don't need oil. All you need is faith. No physical attachment. I don't know whether someone went to. That was his intention, but it couldn't come there. So he had to be interacting with them based on inanimate things. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say? Cause to us, they are general. Let us go to Ephesians 4:4. Look at what Paul has to say in Ephesians 4:4. Are you there? Give me Ephesians 4:4. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. What? How many hopes do we have? There's one hope. There's one hope of this calling. You don't have two. We are all called. He said one Lord, verse 5, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This call is general. All of us have one hope. We've been called to one hope. We have been called to inherit one inheritance. Hallelujah. And that inheritance is the image of God. Hallelujah. That is general for all of us. It's only one. So when a man gets to the end of his life, what we should find in his hand is that one hope. Am I talking to you? He won't have a hope that is different from his own hope. What is hope? Expectation. We all have one single expectation. And that's why I find it very funny when some pastors have preached different kind of messages about your calling, your destiny. We only have one destiny. All of us have only what? One destiny. I like that Sterling Bank, something, one customer. Only one customer. We have only one hope. Only one hope. Not two. Not three. Not multifarious. It's only one. Praise the Lord. However, in this, you have to now find your place. Praise the Lord. And now, more to understand that, yes, we all have one hope, one baptism, one faith. He now went on to say in verse 7, that is the word, but, everybody say but. There is a but in that scripture. But to every one of us, to how many? No. He said to few brothers in the church, like Brother Gideon, only them who are anointed are the people that grace is given. Is that true? Only to those who are in the choir is this grace given. Is that what the Bible says? What did he say? We are all called to one hope. But to every one of us is what? Is given grace. What do you need grace for? You need grace to do. Grace is the same thing as what you will use in the Old Testament, anointing. You have that word. It is by the anointing the yoke is broken. Hallelujah. But that was Old Testament. In the New Testament, you don't hear anointing breaks the yoke. You don't hear those kind of terminologies because it is not true. Amen. In the Old Testament, it was true. Not in the New again. You will never see Paul use the word. He will say, the grace given to me. I am what I am. It was the grace that was working in me. It was casting out devils. We will not hear the word anointing. We have imported Old Testament language into New Testament. And Old Testament operations into New Testament. No wonder we are not going very far. What am I trying to say? He says, is grace given according to the measure of the gift of God, of Christ? What is the gift of Christ? First of all, who is Christ? Eh? He didn't use the word Jesus there. Are you with me? He didn't use the word Jesus. He said the gift of Christ. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father is given to you. Who is the promise of the Father? The Spirit of God. It is that Spirit that is called Christ. Is what makes him Christ. That is the anointing. The Spirit is called the Christos, the anointed one. How did they anoint him? They anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Amen. You have been given grace according to a measure of a gift. In other words, everyone have a measure of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus of not Nazareth. No, this is not Jesus of Nazareth we're talking about here. He who anointed, the anointing of Jesus of Nazareth could not keep him from being killed. All he did was that he enabled him to work miracles. Who was anointed by God? Who went about doing good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. That was all the anointing could do. Amen. He couldn't stop him from being killed. But blessed be God. When the Spirit of him came, the glory of the Father, we call him the glory of the Father, raised him from the dead. He lives by the power of an endless life. He can't die again. That was what was shared. You don't understand. They did not share the anointing that made him do miracles. They shared the Spirit that made him to live forever. You don't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? The spirit that made him do miracle could not stop him from dying. He did miracles, so he raised the dead. I'm not saying it's not good. Amen. But what Paul is saying here, he says the measure of the gift of the Christos. This is a spirit that is functional in the resurrected Christ. To everyone he has given. The question therefore is that what is the problem with everyone? Why is everyone not dealing with this thing? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Praise God. Continue, next verse. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended far above the all levels, that he might fill all things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 1 to 8. Why is it that people not fulfill or make use of the grace of God that is in their lives? We see this man called Jeremiah as a template. I want to find out why Jeremiah is speaking to us today. Jeremiah chapter 1. And it came also in the days of Joachim, the son of Joash, king of Judea, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joash, king of Judea, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, or I can't talk to this thing. I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. God came to a man called Jeremiah and said to Jeremiah, Rise, I am sending you. And the man, the young boy, because he was a boy, said, I don't think you know my age. I am still 15 years of age. And you know that you are not a man in Israel until you are 20. It is Gentiles that say 18. God measures adulthood from 20, not 21. You know, we celebrate 21. Now, what am I trying to say? Jeremiah said, I am a child. One of the major problems we have in the church is inferiority complex. Many have inferiority complex. Many will not attempt to take a step because of the fear of being ridiculed, the fear of being made fun of, the fear of failing, the fear of not doing it properly, the fear of being condemned, the fear of being rejected. So they would prefer to sit down and watch things happen. I know what you are. You're a waster of grace. A waster. The Bible speaks about them in the book of Proverbs. Say, he that sees and he that wastes, they are both brothers. So there's a way he coined it. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Many are frustrating the grace because they don't feel worthy to do those things. Primarily, that's the reason. Of course, people can look at you and say, you're confined, you're not touched. You only allow touched people to come up. Then it's still inferiority complex. It sets you in a situation, in a place where people, only touched people can come up and talk on this pulpit. It's exalted pulpit. Can't you see? We use the marble. Praise the Lord. If your shoe is not up to date, you can't come here. Then you kill the grace. Listen to me. I learned very early in life. Let no man intimidate you. That was what Paul told Timothy. He said, let no man despise your youth. Because he was being intimidated. People were intimidating him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where do you say you come from? Which school did you go to? I went to Blue Rubu. Oh, no. guy will just shrink back into his chair. I said, I don't think I can minister. And he's carrying fire in his bones. For every one of us is grace given according to a measure. And that measure is like the parable of the kingdom. He said the kingdom is like the seed sown, like that mustard seed. They drop it in the soil. It has to be nurtured. It has to be allowed to grow. And you see, when a tree or something like that is growing, that means certain people are allowing it to express itself. When you see the tree grow, what it's doing there is expressing itself. It's expressing itself. And therefore, the gardener's work is to tend it and allow that thing to blossom until it comes into full expression. When it comes into full expression, it's when that tree begins to blossom. That tree begins to bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah? We read that in church in 61. It says, when God has cast forth, has exchanged your garment of mourning, your garment of heaviness for the spirit of praise, mourning for joy, ashes for beauty, it says they shall be called the tree of righteousness. That means they have been allowed to blossom. They have started expressing righteousness. And when people come under, he said, how do you know a tree? He said, by the fruit. Are you with me? You are like a fruit. He said, the righteous is like a tree that is planted by the riverside, that bringeth forth its fruit in season and out of season. Say, whatsoever it doeth shall prosper. What is happening? That person is expressing the full manifestation of the grace of God in his own life. Because when you are properly planted and you are properly groomed, you will give full expression. God wants us to give full expression. Interestingly, none of my children will talk like me. I think so. But I've not seen them manifest yet. Hallelujah. But let us be looking. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is that everyone is unique. What did Paul say? One of the things that God wants accomplished in this earth, he says that the dimensions of God, the manifold wisdom of God will be demonstrated to principalities and to powers. It's not just a demon. Angels need to learn wisdom. They've not learned wisdom. What is the wisdom? When you begin to manifest. And the funny thing is called the many-sided manifestation of the divine wisdom. Each of you is a wisdom. Each of you is what? A wisdom. When they look at you, they should marvel. Then they now look at him, they say, Kai, we thought it was glorious. This was, they now, They are supposed to come to a place where they will just come back to God and say, God, we pay obeisance. We bow. Why did they put the story of Sheba and Solomon in the Bible? The Bible says, when she saw the glory of Solomon, the way servants dress and the way they arrange things and the way they went up and down, and now he went up into the temple and came back, because there was so much strength in that, she just fainted. When this power see you coming to full manifestation, they should go back and build business. I said, you are worthy to receive glory. We have seen what you said you can do. It is beyond our comprehension. You preached it before, but now what we are seeing is more than what you said you would do. We did not know it was even going to reach this level, but it has exceeded our expectation. Praise the Lord. You don't understand what I'm talking about. These things are prophetic pictures of what will happen when angels will stand before God, and when he has finished his work, he says he will rejoice in the labor. When he sees the fulfillment of his work, he will do what? He will rejoice. What? These people have come to full manifestation. Amen. I want to stop. Maybe I'll continue next week. Hallelujah. If I don't continue, God will continue it for you in Jesus' name. One thing I want to say as I bring this to a close is that every man and every woman has a responsibility to God and to him or herself and to his or her generation to discover his or her calling. Are you with me? The giftings of God are without repentance. One he has given you, he has given you. he won't recall it. If you don't discover it and don't work in it, listen to me, your calling is not your profession, it's not your career. Are you with me? That you are gifted, you went to Futa, and you know how to put two things together and make money. That is not a calling. Are you with me? That a calling is not just five-fold ministry. There are diversities of gifts. There are diversities of operations. There are differences of administrations. You can't exhaust it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me close on this scripture. Then we go. Is it Romans 12? Let's go to Romans 12. I'm going to close on that. Yeah. Let's take it. Take from 3. I will stop at 8. For I said, through the grace given unto me. What is this talking about? It's talking about the grace that God gave me. What was it given? It was given an apostolic grace. I'm now talking to every man that is among you and every woman that is among us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, neither to think lowly more than he ought to think. Hallelujah. Some people think of themselves highly. Some also think lowly. Amen. What am I bringing you into? Balance. Think soberly. Can you give me amplified? Can you take us? Okay. For by the grace, please keep the unmerited favor. Shepherd. That was not accurate. Given to me, I want everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly or more lowly than he ought to. Not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance. Exaggerated. You don't know me. You know me. Are you sure you know me? Our local church, you have exaggerated your importance. But to rate his ability, what? With sober judgment. You see the word ability there? That's what the grace does. He has given everybody the kind of ability. The wisdom, therefore, is how do we announce these abilities? The Bible says that this grace is given to every one of us that the body may be built up. Every body of us, he said, we are all members. Let us continue. Each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Next verse. For as in one physical body, we have many parts. Organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. Listen to me. Have you done imagine biology? If you have not, let me give you imagine biology. Biology 001, not 101. This is 001. Hallelujah. If you look at your body, it will shock you to find out that you are a complex being. You have, at least you know that you have hand and leg. Know that one. You have head. On your head alone, there are all kinds of things on it. Hair, eyes, tongue, mouth, teeth. All those things are there. It says they are many. And they are complex. Yet, they all work together. Am I talking to Ross? If you do not understand, the way God created the human body was the prophetic declare. It was prophetically speaking about the body of Christ. He just didn't create human body because there was no kind of human body. He could have created us in any very funny way. Amen. You could have looked like a mix of a dog, cat, and mouse. How would you have? What kind of person would that be? Amen. You don't think that he made some animals like that? One having the head of four heads, lion, four faces. Then the leg of wolves of it will not create. Amen. But if he made you like this, he was speaking prophetically. Amen. Therefore, as I bring this to a close, listen to this word of God. Finish, let's take me 5 and let me stop there. Take me to 5. So we numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on one another. We are mutually dependent. he does not know. The truth of it is that this young man may not know how much it means to me. Beyond the fact that he comes to church and dances. Praise God. Now, if he has that kind of thinking, that thinking is faulty. Are you with me? Because somewhere inside of his spirit are giftings that I need. He alone can supply it. No one else can. But he needs to discover it and make it available for the body. Maybe if God helps him, I may have an idea. I said, go and work on this area of your life. Hallelujah. But most of the time, you may not have somebody around you like that to tell you. You have to prayerfully discover it. Amen. Stephen. Nobody told him he had a calling. Something began to well up in his spirit. Just had a compassion for people. And he started visiting them. And he would meet them. Okay, let me pray for you. And he started praying. He just responded to the promptings of the spirit. And that's why we knew we had a prophetic evangelist. Are you with me? A prophetic evangelist. He's an evangelist, but he was prophetic. Because he was responding to a prompting. He was responding to a prompting. He was responding to a prompting. To every one of you is grace given. All of us have grace given. Make it available. You are a mine. Go and look for the treasures inside of you. Remember when they made telling us about the arrangement of the new heavens. They said that they spoke about different stones. Those stones, you don't find them occurring naturally on the earth. You don't find them somewhere else. Somebody must go and look for them, mine them, and process them before they can be used by the master. Am I talking to somebody? I want you to therefore bow your heads this morning and let us pray. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search it out. If you want to have honor on earth, you must discover your purpose. You must discover that thing that makes you unique. That only you, in the economy of heaven, has been designed, you have been summoned to accomplish in the earth. It may not be the fivefold. No, it is not your career. It's not money making. No, there is a program in God. Barnabas was designed to be an encourager. That was his design. And he discovered it and he flowed in it. Other things began to come up, but that was primarily his calling. You could see that thing run through his life. You have Priscilla and Aquila who discovered the purpose to which God has summoned them. Every one of us we have been given summons. You need to spend time to discover what yours is. You can't run through life not discovering it. If that happens to you or I, then we are in trouble. We've wasted our whole lives. Jesus told Hagin, says many never discover the purpose for which God created them. They will go to heaven, but they will get to heaven regretting because they did not spend time to discover their purpose. You need to discover it. It is not marriage. It is not career. You must just discover your purpose. A woman discovered her purpose and invested her life in raising men. She raised 7 of them. One of them was Watchmani. Many don't know about her, but that was her purpose. What is your own? Why were you summoned? Thank God for the general summons. But there is a summon that is specific. Like Jeremiah got his own specific summons. You need your own specific summon. You need to know what you've been summoned to do. Father, I thank you for this morning, for the privilege and the honor to bring this word. I thank you, Father, for the inspiration, for the choice of words. I commit your people to your hands. I trust you, Father. that these things has resonated with their spirits. But Lord of heaven, how they proceed from here is a matter of you helping them. I'm trusting you that you will help us, that no one will live a purposeless life in the name of Jesus. That in the years to come, when we ask, have you discovered your purpose? Let everyone under the sound of my voice and those who will hear that message be able to say, I have found my purpose. I pray for everyone, oh God. I haven't found their purpose. You will enable them to function in it. In the name of Jesus. No cancer will destroy them. No spiritual cancer. That cancer that destroyed Demas will not affect them. You will keep them immune from such in the name of Jesus. Bless your great name, O God. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.